We here at the Course of Miracles said a couple of weeks ago that fear is always a sign of strain. It arises whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. Mm-hmm. So whenever what you want conflicts with what you do, it's because you're choosing to do conflicting things either simultaneously or successively, mm-hmm. or you are doing behaving as you think you should without entirely wanting to. So if you're behaving the way you think you should without wanting to, that is a cause of fear. If you're doing one thing after another that you don't want to do, that's a cause of fear. So fear comes from doing one thing after another that you really don't want to do, and it comes from behaving the way you think you should, even if that's not really the way you want to behave. So if any, so if we're doing either one of those two things, what are we producing?
Fear.
Okay. So that means that you're behaving the way you think you should. You don't really want to behave that way. So your behavior is consistent, but you're under a whole lot of strain. So you're acting on the outside pretty consistent, but on the inside you're full of strain, because the way that you're thinking and the way that you're behaving is out of accord. So you're in a situation where you're not doing what you want to do. If you continue to do what you don't want to do for a long time, you start to feel coerced, and then it produces rage, and then somebody gets attacked. And that's where attack comes from. It comes from a person who has been doing what they don't really want to do. Now, a person asked me a question a week ago, which I thought was interesting. We were talking about if you were really listening to your higher self or spirit, that if you were doing something that was totally in accord with yourself, there would be no fear. And so they were saying, well, suppose there's you have a conflict of behavior because you're behaving as you should, because there's something bad, quote unquote, that you don't think you ought to do. So rather than just going ahead and doing it, you're behaving the way you think you should, even though you still want to do that thing that you consider to be bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we said, well, that's not the point of the lesson. It's not about what you're trying to do as far as the behavior is concerned that you're not doing. It's just the idea that you're not doing what you really want to do. That's what caused the fear. I don't care what it's about. It's when you feel like you're in conflict about what you want to do, the course says that's what's causing the strain. You follow me?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're trying not to do. It's the fact that you're in conflict that's causing the fear. Okay? So if you're feeling fear, it always means you haven't made up your mind. It says wherever there is fear, it's because you haven't made up your mind. So wherever in your life right now that you feel conflict is an area where it says you haven't made up your mind. And so since you haven't made up your mind, then your behavior is going to become erratic. So a person with erratic behavior is a person who haven't made up their mind about how they're going to act. A person of many moods is just a person with constantly changing interpretations of themselves. So a moody person is just a person who's changing their perception of who they are. There's a chair right over here too. It's a person who is constantly changing their interpretation of who they are from moment to moment. One minute I'm okay, one minute I'm not okay, one minute things are okay, one minute I think it's not okay. You see what I'm saying? So when I'm moody because I'm always changing the way I look at myself. Okay, so that's moody. Okay. Yeah, I'm a real change the way I look at myself from moment to moment kind of person, instead of saying I'm moody.
Yeah.
Okay. And if I'm a change the way I think about myself from moment to moment, guess what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to also change the way I think about you from moment to moment, which means I'll be changing the way that I behave towards you all the time. So one minute you see me, I'm going to be behaving one way with you, and the next minute you see me, I'm behaving in another way. It's because I'm constantly changing my interpretation of myself and you. There are two seats over here also. There's one here and one here. So come over there so I can look at your pretty chocolate face. Okay. All right. Now, it's possible to reach a state where you can bring your mind under the guidance of your higher self without effort. It is possible to let your higher self take over and make all of the guidance for you. That would be great, wouldn't it? He says, but we haven't developed that willingness to do that yet. Sorry. All right. Because that's true. I'm not willing to put my mind under the guidance of something greater than myself yet, because I'm still trying to make all my decisions by myself. How do I know I'm not? Because I don't ever stop a minute and ask my higher self. I never stop. You know, I don't address the Creator until after I've decided what I want. First I decide what I want, the way I want it, and who's supposed to do it. And I say, oh God, come on. make my desire real. So I didn't check in until I make up my mind and did decide to ask. That's backwards. Yeah, that's backwards. And so the Course says that we haven't developed the willingness yet to let God guide us completely. So therefore, our higher self cannot ask more of us than we're willing to do. So if it's coming from your true self will never ask you to do more than you're willing to do, because if it's more than you're willing to do, it won't get done. So a sane mind always asks the person who would do it. In fact, the lady who channeled the Course in Miracles asked why was she chosen to do it when she doubted what she was channeling, and she was an atheist, and she was Jewish, and it seemed like it was supposed to be channeled by Jesus. So she had a problem with that, which is hilarious when you think about it. It shows you the sense of humor of God. And she was told that because she would do it. And she did spend 7 years writing it. So she was chosen because she'd do it, not because of her personality, beliefs, and philosophies. You know, so that's telling us that when guidance is coming from your higher self, it's going to ask you to do something that you're willing to do, so that it'll get done. So if you think you're constantly being requested by God to do something you don't want to do, or by your inner self to do something you don't want to do, you're listening to the voice you made up, the ego. That's not God's guidance, according to this, that's telling you to do something that you don't want to do. And that's the first place a lot of people go. Oh, I know I should be, and God told me, but I really don't want to do it. That wasn't God. God isn't stupid to ask you to do something you don't want to do. Intelligence asks you to do something you do want to do. All right. It's a lot easier to get a kiss from a person who won't kiss you. You go to jail with the other kind. Okay. The challenge, you know. Okay. There is no challenge to a teacher of love. There is no challenge to a teacher of God. There's no such thing as a challenge to somebody who knows who they are. Interesting. So anyway, let's go further. Then it talks about, have you ever wanted the strength to do something, but you didn't think you had it? It says, it comes from your undivided decision. So if I don't have the motivation to do something, I haven't made an undivided decision to do it. Now remember, with the Course in Miracles, you don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to welcome it. Some of it's going to be hard to believe, some of it's going to be quite startling, but you're not asked to judge the ideas at all. If you use it, you'll see that it's true. So I'm going to say again, the Course itself says you don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to welcome it. So let's get that clear, that we're just listening. And we don't have to believe it. Then we can hear it. So let's make this practical. Where you think right now you have not been able to make a change, where you think you want to make a change because you don't feel like you've been strong enough to do it, it only means, you know what? You really haven't made up your mind to do it. So work on you really being sincere about wanting to do it, and it'll take care of the problem of not having the strength and the motivation to do it. Okay, everybody got that little tip? I'm not strong enough to do it means I haven't made up my mind to do it. Then it goes on to say, there is no strain in doing God's will as soon as you recognize that it's yours. The only strain with doing the will of the higher power is I don't think it's my will. As soon as I want myself to be happy as much as the Creator wants me to be happy, then my will is one with God. So it's interesting that your will isn't really one with God until you want to be happy too. Until you think you deserve happiness too. Until you believe you deserve love too. According to this, you're not sharing one will with God, because God's will for you is perfect happiness, complete joy, is what the Course says. So we need to get clear that the universe is on our side, and the universe wants us to be happy, wants us to experience love, wants us to, you know, what created us wants us to be fulfilled and experience joy and fulfillment. So I have to make an undivided decision that that's true. I don't care what's going on in my life right now, I have to make the decision that no matter what's going on in my life right now, the will of God, the will of the universe is that I have peace, I have happiness, I have abundance, I have union, I have relationship. You have to make a decision. No matter what it looks like, you have to go, but the will of the universe is my joy. Whether I'm experiencing it right now or not doesn't have anything to do with it. Okay? When I do a Course class, it may not seem like it, but what I do all the way through the hour is through the Course share answers that work. The challenge the Core teaches is that when you receive an answer that's not an answer that you yourself thought of, there's a tendency not to give that answer as much credence as any answer you thought of. So therefore, when a person comes to a class or counseling or anything, they're primarily looking to hear the answer that they've already made up before they came in. So if I say the answer that the person has made up, they say, got it. If I say an answer that's different from the answer that they made up, then they don't hear it or they go, that couldn't possibly be the truth. So remember, new means different. New means different. When you say I want to a new way, you're saying give me a different way. I want a new relationship means I want a relationship that's unlike any kind I've ever had. New does not mean you're getting another opportunity to repeat the same thing again. Everybody with me on that one? For most people, new means, oh, I'm going to get another opportunity to repeat the same mistake I made in the past. This is a new person. I'm going to run the same insane script down on you that I've run on everybody else because you're a new one. Or the same one. I'm meeting people that's coming, doing the same script with me. Talking same. Just like, ooh. You know, so I find myself telling people out saying, You so awake? So refreshing. You know, you're at a party or something, and someone, the first thing they say to you is, wow, isn't it great that we're here to continue where we left off and remembering who we really are? Dog, I was just going to ask you about the Dark Knight, the movie. But that was deep. Anyway. So I'm telling you, when you really change the people around, you're going to change. There's a way that you relate to them is going to change. If your experience is not changing, you have not changed your mind. If your experience is not changing, you have not changed your mind. You are thinking about it. Thinking about using the truth is not the same thing as using it. But people expect the results from thinking of it to work. I'm thinking of what you said today, and hopefully it'll work. No, you have to live what you heard today. Which is, well, how would I do that? Well, I would say, well, right now I'm feeling some fear and conflict, so I'm behaving as I think I should without really wanting to. I must be doing something I don't really want to do. So I need to make a decision right now about what it is I really want to do, because when I make an undivided decision, I have the strength to do it. I could get guidance, but I haven't developed the willingness to listen to guidance yet. But that doesn't matter, because even if God does ask me to do something, God would never ask me to do something I wouldn't be willing to do. So there wouldn't be any strain in following my guidance, because my guidance would never be asking me to do something that I didn't really want to do. So there's a lesson here that might be overlooked, and so I'm urging you to listen. There's a little simple lesson. Only your mind can produce fear. Only your mind can produce fear. Only your mind is producing your anger. Only your mind is producing your jealousy. Only your mind is producing your insecurity. Only your mind is producing your joy. Only your mind is producing your happiness. Only your mind is producing your abundance. Only your mind is producing your lack. Only the mind produces fear. And I like the term produces. You can almost see that. The mind produces fear. Has anybody ever felt fear? Okay, what produced it according to this that you don't have to believe? The mind. Does everybody here have one?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, you got what's left of it. You got a little fragment in your mind, but that's, I'm so proud. You bragging, that's what you're doing. Anybody got a fragment of mind left out there? Okay, got a little piece? All right. Well, it's that peace of mind that's producing whatever you feel right now. Okay. I know it looks like it's something outside yourself, and it looks like it's another person, it looks like a situation, but it's really your mind producing what? The fear. Then it says that your mind does so whenever your mind is conflicted in what it wants. Your mind produces fear whenever it's conflicted in what it wants. Ask the average person what you want, they go, I just know I don't want this, and I don't want this, and I won't want this, and I don't want this. They tell you what they don't want, but they don't tell you what they do want, because we think saying what we don't want is asking for what we do want, but it's not. Saying I don't want poverty is not the same as asking to know your abundance. Saying I don't want to be alone is not the same as asking for a relationship. Saying I don't want. So whenever you say what you don't want, you project it out into the world because you don't want it, and then you meet it. See, it's like, let me give a good example. It's like, this is an easy example. I don't want this car, so I project it away from me. I project it away from me, right?
And then, after I keep on moving, what do? I walk right up on my car. Projected it. So everything I'm projecting outside of myself is what I meet in my day-to-day life. I project anger outside of myself. I'm not angry. Angry, I project bad people outside of myself. I don't have anything in me that's negative. So I can meet it because I'm projecting. Projection makes perception. Okay? So, if I want to keep the problem that I'm projecting, the way that I keep it is to deny I'm projecting it. So any problem you want to keep will always be the one that you say you didn't make. Which is why most people say they have a lot of problems that are unsolvable. Because they took themselves out of the problem. And if they are the problem in their thinking and they take themselves out, then the problem can't be solved because the problem is in your mind. So when you take your mind out of it or you out of it, you render the problem unsolvable. This book answers so many questions I used to ask, but I didn't get answers for that made any sense to me. But that makes perfect sense to me, that if I'm the one that's creating the thing and I take me out of the equation, it couldn't be solved. So if you have a lot of problems that it looks like you can't solve, it's because you don't see the relationship you have with what you're perceiving. You're saying, I don't have a relationship to it. It's just happening to me. All right? Yet you don't have to believe. Okay, before I go any further, any comments, any questions? I don't mind them. I love them. They open spirit up.
Can you say that again?
That is 5 minutes.
Who knows what I said? Can anybody tell me anything I said? So we all went blank, right? Y'all not here and I'm not either. Is that what's happening?
Projection problems outside yourself.
Yeah.
They present themselves again.
Yeah, exactly. If you
think anybody else, you're not taking responsibility for the problem and it can't be solved.
Okay, now you just saw an example of what the Course calls being saved from a Course perspective. It simply means when you forget the truth, the other part of you remembers it for you and gives it back to you. And then that's how you stay awake. And see, we all forget. But since we're alone and sometimes don't share the truth with each other, when we forget, the people around us just help us forget more. Because they believe the same false ideas we do. So we forget more. Like I forgot what I said, he remembered what I said, then I was able to remember too because it was already in me. So when like he taught me, he just triggered a memory in me that was already there. Y'all follow me? All of us have the truth in us. What we need are the triggers. So I'm a trigger. I'm your trigger. Okay.
So Earl, when you turn things over to God, is that just not taking responsibility?
Would that sound like that would be a smart thing to do?
Well, it sounds like it'd be a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you turn things over to God, it's from a Course perspective, it simply means you're now using the laws of God as your way of handling that situation. In other words, we've been told new ways to perceive and new ways to proceed. If I use those, then I am surrendering because I'm surrendering to an idea other than the one I made up, and I'm using it. It's like if a person is guiding you, what does that mean? It just means the thoughts they're sharing with you, those are the thoughts you're using too. That's all guidance means. It means if I'm studying this book and I say it's my path and it says something, then I would allow myself to accept what it's saying and then I would apply it. That's me following guidance. Hearing it and then fighting with it all the time is nothing but producing fear and strain because I'm trying to make myself behave the way I think I should, which is following the book, but not really want to. So then I use my own spiritual path to keep me in conflict. So I always invite people, do not get on a path that you're not willing to do. Because you spend half your time fighting with what you're being told. That's the difference between like having a class like this, which is very helpful where everybody can drop in and we can hear it, and having an advanced mind training like I did yesterday, where people are coming because they have decided for sure that's what they want. It's an entirely different energy. Because part of the energy in a drop-in thing is people trying to determine the credibility of what they're hearing. So they're static. Because they think it really matters. Because if it's the truth, it doesn't matter what you believe about it. And if it's the truth, your opinion of it doesn't change it. So really, I'm always debating about stuff I have no power over anyway. It's not like I can decide that when I jump off this house, I'm not going to fall up, right? Okay, I don't care how much I affirm, I'm probably going to fall down. So the truth is always the truth, no matter what you believe. And that's really what should be comforting us. Then it really doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It doesn't matter if you like yourself. It doesn't matter if anybody else likes you. It doesn't matter if you think you're a cool person or not a cool person. In reality, it really doesn't matter because it doesn't affect what you are. I don't care how I describe myself to y'all during this hour, I would never turn into a white man. Because I'm not. You see what I'm saying? So the Course says, take it another level. You are loved. You are unconditionally loved. You are powerful. You create your reality. You are not alone. You are not a victim. And I don't care what you're going through right now. It could be solved and you could have a peaceful, happy life. That is the truth. Now, whether you think it is or not, doesn't make a hill of beans to the universe. You are supported whether you think you are or not. Now, how much a person wants to believe that is in direct proportion to how much guilt they have. If they're trying to punish themselves, or they don't like themselves, or they think they're not okay, they're not going to want to accept the truth that they're unconditionally loved. That's okay. That's perfectly okay, because they're choosing to look at themselves that way. And if you know they're choosing to look at themselves that way, because they could look at themselves another way, then you don't have to have any sense of responsibility for the way that they see themselves. So if you're walking around feeling responsible how everybody else sees themselves, you're not living the truth. The truth is, they are responsible for how they see themselves. And they're also responsible for how they see you. So the trick in the end, for you to recognize you have no control over the way they see you, is how you free yourself. The ones I really got that I didn't have any control over how you all saw me, and then no matter what I would show you, you still would see me the way you've already decided to see me before I did anything. The decision has already been made. I like you, I don't like you, I trust you, I don't trust you. It's been made. Okay, and then once I make my decision about you, I use everything I see to justify the decision I made about you. I've decided you are no good, so everything you do, I'm going to look at it in terms of how it could be a threat to me and how you are no good. Because I got to justify the perception that I have of you, so therefore I have to edit out everything that's different from how I've decided to see you. So even if you did do something nice, I'd say it was a trick. Because I've already decided you're a crook. You follow what I'm saying? So everything you see is the result of the decision that you've already made before you see it. It's not the result of you saw it and now you're going to make a decision about it. Your decision is what you see. Your decision about your finances, that is your bank account. Your decision about your love life is your love life. And here's the good news. I don't care what you've done. You still are going to be healed. You still are going to have love. You still are going, everything's going to turn out right. Yes, yes, Penelope, it is. They did live happily ever after. You will live happily ever after. And what you're doing right now is seeing the grand adventure you gave yourself onto that realization. This is it. You're seeing what you did to become enlightened. Everything you're trying to achieve, you've already accomplished looking at what you went through to get there. Yep, that boyfriend was him. That girlfriend was what you went through to get there. Oh, that job you had, that's what you went through to get there. Oh, that attitude you had in 1992, that was how you... You are only experiencing what you went through before you recognized you were an unlimited child of God. That's all your life is. So I'm here to tell you that the movie turned out fine. Okay? At the end of the book in chapter 33 says you got everything that made you happy. Now chapter 13 was hell though. Okay, before you got to chapter 33, chapter 13 hit your butt. Woo! You might be in chapter 13 right now. Okay? But I'm here at the end of the book telling you you lived happily ever after. So what is the purpose of this class? Well, it's telling you the attitude to have where you read your book and experience your book. You know, you go to the fairgrounds and you get on a roller coaster, right? It's a total commitment. The ones they say, they put in a little straw and you go click on you and you're like, okay, here it goes. I made the decision, right? Right? And all, it's like six of you all. You're all in the same car, on the same trip. You're all in the same car, on the same trip. You're all in the same car, on the same trip. That's what we're doing right. exciting out, right? You're clicking, right?
Yeah.
And then you got two choices, right? You're on the roller coaster, you can either scream your head off out of total terror. And then right next to you, there's somebody go, yay! All right, can we get the thing going a little bit faster? Okay, both on the same roller coaster, right? One person interpreting the ride in such a way that they're going, right on, I can't wait to get on the roller coaster. The other one going, ah! On the same roller coaster. What's the difference between the two of them? How they see the ride. You're on your ride. What's the difference between me and you? I'm on a roller coaster going, yeah! You might go on a roller coaster going, oh! But guess what? The people that scream arrived at the end point, which was the beginning, at the same time. I've never been on a jet where really the people in first class got to the city faster than me. They may have had to ride in more style, but I ride too. So I don't care how afraid you are, how angry you are, how much you hate yourself, how you still got to forgive your brother for taking your prom pitch and tearing it up, or whatever the heck it is you're tripping about, you still will arrive at the same time as the rest of the people in the car. So you can either decide that your life is going to be one that you will look at it in such a way that you really have some joy and happiness in it, or you can ride your roller coaster your whole life and scream and hollering, but you still are going to end up in the same place that the other people do that's loving. They don't stop the roller coaster and go, hold it! The people with a problem, get out! And all the people that's laughing, you stay on the roller coaster. They don't do that. It's just that you end up in the same place. One of you enjoyed the trip, one of you didn't. So if I'm sitting up there knowing this person got a chance of enjoying the trip just as much as me, but they're choosing to scream, I did try to let them know it was just a ride and they're safe, but they still chose to scream, I am not responsible for that person's fear of conflict. You are not responsible for the way other people see you. That's their responsibility. But it also can be a great way of getting in touch with how you feel about yourself at the same time. And I guarantee you that if you had a little garden going right now, a little garden that looks like this, and picture people as plants for a minute. So you got some weeds there. You got a few weed people. Okay, I won't go into that. But and the weed people in the house. Okay. Anyway. Please don't be serious about your spiritual path. Be sincere.
Right?
Don't be serious. The more serious you are about this, the harder it's going to be for you to achieve your goal. Don't be a serious course student or truth student. Don't be serious. You know, angels fly because they take themselves so lightly. Okay, lighten up. Lighten up. I'm on the spiritual path like I got bricks in my drawers.
Spiritual person. I will smile in my life depending on it. I'm serious.
Okay.
Y'all know the serious spiritual people?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. All right, so did y'all get the analogy of the ride?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I haven't made up my mind to take responsibility for riding the roller coaster, then I won't enjoy the ride because I'll be behaving opposite to how I feel. I'm acting like somebody put me on the roller coaster against my will. Now, that's interesting, too. Now, I'm gonna hit you something that you don't have to believe, but it's just a thought to kind of entertain. Remember that you all stood in line and you decided to get on the roller coaster. That's exactly what happens before birth. Oh, I think I'd take a black man born in Memphis ride. I feel it's particularly adventurous. How about those chicken friends chose white? Well, I don't know about you, buddy, but I'm finna have it easier. Don't lose your sense of humor. Okay. It's funny. So the point I'm making is, but once you decide to get on the ride, it's a total commitment.
You see what I mean? So you weren't a victim of being a body or a victim of being a person or a victim of being human. This was your choice. You decided to get on the roller coaster called the human life. But you're not a victim of it because you not only chose the amusement park, you chose the roller coaster. You even chose the people who ride it with you. And we all did that. And as soon as you get that this life is not by chance or accident, and nothing happens in your life by chance or accident, you will feel your power start to return. Even if it's what you don't like. That's what's going to test you the most. Because the things that you don't like are going to be the first things that you want to see no relationship between you and it. That's just a natural tendency of the human mind. Yes, buts are always around. I want somebody else to be the cause of what I'm going through. Just watch it. It'll always be. But didn't that, and then, and I always tell people from the course, that don't even start at that level. Don't even go at the level of, did I create that physical thing that happened to me? All right? Start at the level of, I made my perception of that thing that happened to me. Start there. Please, start at, I'm making the way I'm seeing this. Would you agree that you're making the way that you're seeing this moment right now? That you're making it, right?
Yep.
Okay, you get your hand up.
Well, I was kind of confused.
It's okay.
So when before you're born,
yeah,
it's been chosen how you're gonna.
Well, this is a theoretical issue. So okay. It's not nothing I can prove to you.
Okay.
All right. But in terms of my learning, it's like we are constantly evolving into greater and greater states of love and self-awareness. And some of us just don't put it off in one dream called a physical life. Okay. But you don't have to believe in that to practice the truth. So it's not important whether or not a person believes in reincarnation. It's totally unimportant to the course. The course is only interested in things you can do right now. Like right now, I could see you as being innocent and a part of me and somebody deserves to have peace, somebody who's powerful and responsible and a creator, somebody that's loving and somebody that's loving. I can do that sitting right here. I can not attack you, not hurt you. Be supportive of you. See, I can do that right now. That's not theoretical. That's why people like to occupy themselves with theoretical issues that they can't do right now. It's because they're afraid to love and join right now. So while I'm analyzing all this, it's really just me being afraid to come up to you and say, you know, I really am grateful for you. I'm glad you're in my life. I'm glad you're part of me. We both kind of realize the truth together. I want to be more loving than you two, right? See, that it takes more guts to do that. That's the scariest thing you can do. You can tell people to do is to connect with each other. If I did a lot of exercises when y'all came here to make sure y'all interact with each other, I'd ask me about three people in about 3 weeks. There's nothing that turns people off more who come to a class to join than when you ask them to do it. God, I hope you don't tell me to tell somebody else today. Oh, God, I'm not going. I'm not going. Why are you going? Because I want to know I'm innocent. I want people to tell me I'm innocent, but I'm not going to tell nobody that innocent. You see, the court says our real dread is the fear of joining. Then we're going to find out that our real fear is the fear of love, the fear of God. When you get through with all your fears, the bottom one is, I'm afraid to join with you all. I'm afraid to trust you. And all the rest of the stuff I do is just to cover up the fact that I don't want to join you. See, it's deep.
Yeah.
That's it. Because why? Because I haven't made an undivided decision to do it. All right? So it says, whenever your mind is conflicted in what it wants, it produces inevitable strain because wanting and doing are discordant. What you want to do, what you do is discordant. Now, this can be corrected only by... This can be corrected. 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 Give me a this. Give me a this. The truth has to come to us in a variety of forms. You don't just get it one way. You got to get it in a variety of positions. Okay.
Sorry, what did you say?
you can get it through a variety. Okay, now watch this. I'm about to say how to be corrected. I know you're on the edge of your seat, right? Okay. The first corrective step in undoing the error is to know first that your conflict is an expression of fear. So you go, you don't say I'm in conflict per se in this relationship. You would say, I feel fear in this relationship. Fear is being expressed in this relationship. That is what conflict is, an expression of fear. So the first step to the correction is to know that your conflict isn't what you think it is. Your conflict is your fear. No matter what the problem is. There's some people that are told they got 6 months to live and they don't have any conflict about that. So there are some people that are told they got 6 months to live and they're told fear about that. See the difference? One, so that means the death prognosis has nothing to do with anything. It's how they're looking at it. So that's why the course wants you to get that. What's upsetting you is the expression of fear that you have here in this situation, in this relationship. That's what you're upset about, is the expression of fear that's coming from you not doing what you really want to do and behaving the way you think you should. That's where your fear is coming from, not the fact that they did not call you before they came home from work. See, that's difficult sometimes to accept when you're used to being programmed that everybody else outside of you is responsible for how you feel. I know this because that's what the world teaches us. The world approves of that. As soon as you blame somebody else, you're like, okay, all right. The world's intact. Why? Because you said it was somebody else's fault. The world loves that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm miserable now because the oil company is charging $4 a gallon for gas. If the gas would just go down, I'd be the happiest man in town. The gas would go down, I'd be the happiest man in town. Why are you happy? The gas went down. Why are you happy? Milk gone down. See, my happiness is dependent on milk. My happiness is dependent on gas. Having gas. Why are you happy? I got some gas. Okay. Specific, it's hilarious.
Yes.
It is, it's funny. Specific instructions.
Specific instructions.
Specific instructions. Say to yourself that you must somehow have chosen not to love. I'm in fear. I must have somehow chosen not to love. What does that mean? Well, if I hadn't chosen not to love, then I wouldn't be afraid. So I'm afraid because I've chosen not to practice the truth, not to love, not to focus on the fact that I am powerful, that I'm not a victim. Now that's love. The truth is love. So somehow I've chosen not to focus on the truth, not to love. We're back with me. Oh, I wouldn't be afraid. Okay, I used an analogy in my seminar yesterday that really hit home for me was, who's familiar with the character Superman? All right. Superman is still Superman when he's pretending to be Clark Kent. Is he not? So he still has his powers even when he's dressed like Clark Kent. Right? That's what we're being asked to do. Stop pretending just because you're in a human form that you don't have the powers of your true self, your divine self, available to you, just like the powers of Superman is available to Clark Kent, even when he's wearing his clothes. So if he was to push Clark Kent off a building, he still wouldn't be destroyed. His suit might be messed up, but Clark Kent would be okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
But if Clark Kent forgot he was Superman, he still have the powers but be afraid all the time. Right? So that's us. We've forgotten that we have the power of creation within us and the power of love to have it any way we want to have it. We allow Clark Kent in amnesia. Right? And so even when we get pushed off a cliff, we might scream because we think we're no longer super, but we still are. So you always end up being okay, even if it looks like you died.
Yeah. That's
good. I love the people in my life too much that have made a transition to see them as dead.
Yeah.
I say it again. I love the people in my life who have made their physical transition too much to see them as dead. If I believe that I have eternal life or I am a spiritual being, then I could not be anything that they are not. And if I don't die, they don't die. If they die, I die. I got to make a choice. Am I a child of God or a child of man? You got to make some decisions. Remember, strength comes from your undivided decision. So the next step in this process to go is this. And those who don't mind saying it with me, please do, right after me. Know first that this is fear. Know first that this is fear. What am I going through? This is fear. I need to know first, this is fear. I'm angry. This is fear. I'm depressed. This is fear. I see lack. This is fear. I feel sick. This is fear. I feel alone. This is fear. I'm bored. This is fear. I'm having a temporary pleasure. This is fear. A pleasure that doesn't last is just a pleasant form of fear. Because you're still wearing it, is it going to happen again? Is somebody going to take it away? So it's just another form of fear. We call them pleasant. You know, you hope when you go out to a club, you'll have a pleasant form of fear that night. Okay.
Is he going to call? Is he going to call? Did I do it right? Did I not do it right?
Pleasant form of fear. A fear I like. You get what it is? Because I'm just afraid of loss. So it says, know that this is fear, and then say, fear arises from lack of love. Or you can say, fear arises from lack of truth. Could be another way to put it. It makes no sense, maybe. Fear arises from lack of love. I'm in this situation because of a lack of union, a lack of joining, a lack of practicing the truth. What's the only remedy? The only remedy for lack of love is perfect love. Now, when I hear perfect love, I think, that's how somebody treats me. That's the perfect love. I gather what a perfect love would do. They would send me flowers every day. In candy. That's a perfect love. No, it has nothing to do with behavior. Perfect means complete. It means nothing's missing. So the answer to fear is complete love. Complete love for who? Complete love for yourself. Complete love for yourself. Complete love for yourself. It's complete freedom for yourself. Complete love or perfect love is the atonement. And atonement simply means the correction. So complete love, complete truth is the correction. If I knew I was on a roller coaster and I'm the one that's determined the way I see myself on the roller coaster, I could change my way of looking at my ride and therefore let go of my fear. So the truth is what saved me and took me out of my fear. You follow that? It's when you apply the truth that the fear leaves. So whenever there's fear and conflict, it just means you haven't made up your mind to apply the truth that you say you believe or that you want to believe. Which is love, which is union, which is relationship. And I know that you have done that because you've already accomplished your goal of going back to enlightenment and bliss, and you're just on chapter 13. So would you acknowledge yourself for being here today? For real. For real. Yeah. Let's give ourselves what we want other people to give us. That's great. Could you give some to the people in the room? Woo! What about the people in the house? The people in the house? When you're clapping and looking around the room, when you're clapping and looking around the room, you know, it's your chance to legitimately check out somebody.
Let's see, who do I want to make my latest mistake with?
Who's that? I can try my old script one more time. The course calls our plans the latest way that we're going to choose to deceive ourselves. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Your plan is your latest thing you're coming up with to fool yourself about what's really taking care of you. Do you know when your mind is healed? Give me an M. Give me an O. Give me an E-E-Y. You're a money cheerleader. Hey, I appreciate y'all. The Holy Spirit takes care of us through each other. And I do the course full time in the world. That's trust, isn't it? And thank you so much for sharing with me. Thank you. And with you in the temple. So I'm going to pass this around, and all that you give is given to yourself. And I appreciate that. I really do. I really do. The next class is Wednesday. Somebody else just as afraid on the ride as they are. And then they hold each other. We go, together. Then we call that a special relationship. I'm spinning, but I'm not spinning by myself. That's why I got my thing on match.com right now. I need somebody to scream with me. That's what I got on mine. Okay. You see what I'm saying? If I'm afraid, I need to hook up with what doesn't represent fear. The person that can tell me, Earl, this is just a ride. Everything's okay. Look at me. I'm on the ride with you. Look at me. So if you really want to move fast, all you have to do is ask to have your life be a living example of God's love. And that doesn't mean sacrifice. If you haven't been receiving any correspondence from me, and I've been sending out some course tips and stuff, then I'm going to ask you to put yourself on my contact list. And I'd also let you know when I'm in town, things that are going on and stuff like that. There'll be more communication. So anybody want to put their name on here? If you haven't gotten anything, then you're not on my list. You need to sign it. So you might need to re-sign. It's going to be more important to stay in communication in terms of what's getting ready to happen. You know, because by the end of this ride, we'll all be like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Some of you might be just at that point on the ride where you come right over that hill. You know what I'm saying? You're right at the top of it, and it's, you know, but you're going to be okay. That's what I'm here to tell you. I know it's scary sometimes, but you're going to be okay. All right?
Yeah.
I'm also available for one-on-one personal sessions, and I've also been an astrologer and a numerologist for years. Spirit can communicate to you through any talent or skill that you have, no matter what it is. And I got some flyers over there to describe what I do. That's right back there. And God, it's good to see you all. Thank you for coming out on such a beautiful day. Days like this can be like, Course in Miracles, the park. I think I'm going to the park. Or whatever. So I appreciate your dedication, which means y'all must be doing some great screaming on the ride right now, as well as having some fun on the ride. Okay, so I'm going to do one minute of the thing, and we can go back out and try to do our latest way to deceive ourselves, okay? Just a second. This is dedicated to us, and I'm going to say these four principles over and over again for as many ways as I can for about 1 minute. Fear.
from a lack of love. The only remedy for a lack of love is perfect love. Perfect love is the atonement. Complete truth is the correction. There is nothing to fear. 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 There is nothing. Who will say that with me? Who will do the part with me? We'll become the non-temptation. Are you ready? There is nothing to fear. 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 You've already made it back. You just was looking at your book to see what you went through. And guess what? You can do a rewrite anytime you want. If you don't like chapter 13, you can just ask for another screenplay writer. You know what I'm saying? You can say something like, I want the part of me that truly loves me, that is my truest self, my God self, my spiritual self. I want it to start to create my dream life, my life for me. I want the part of me that loves me to do its thing. The part of me that loves me, do your thing. The part of me that loves me, do your thing. The part of me that loves me, do your thing. The part of you that loves me, do your thing. The part of you that loves me, do your thing. Now some people pray to God, some pray to Christ, some pray to Allah. I pray to whoever. Whatever is out there that loves me, that is that divine power, even if it's something beyond what I was taught in the past that didn't make much sense to me, I really am opening myself up to love completely. Yeah. Perfect love is the atonement. Perfect. And so I'm going to see that for you even when you forget. Okay? Clothes are available. I love you. May the course be with you.
That's just a sad melody.